74. Simon.
I wake up on Christmas morning in Penelope's bed. She's sitting next to me, staring at me. What? I say.
Thank magic. I was worried you'd never speak again.
Why?
Because you weren't talking all last night. For heaven's snakes, Simon, what happened to you?
I'm lying on my stomach. I tried to roll onto my back, but can't. The wings must still be there. Just thinking about them makes them spread out again, and they knock Penny over.
Simon!
Sorry, I say, trying to pull them back. Sorry. Penny takes the edge of one wing and rubs it between her thumb and forefinger.
Are these permanent?
I don't know, I say, not intentionally.
We coated you in spells yesterday, and none of them did anything.
Who's we?
Me, my parents. Do you even remember coming here?
Sort of. I remember flying. I didn't recognize London from above, so I had to go to the eye, then sort of half fly down the streets to find your house. I've only ever come here before on the tube.
I wonder if anyone saw you.
I don't know. I tried to think about being invisible.
You what?
I close my eyes now and think about the wings. I think about how I don't need them anymore. I feel the magic welling up in me. The magic is always welling up in me lately. Always coming up in the back of my throat. I think about how I don't want to fly. And then I think about pulling the wings back into my back. When I open my eyes again, Penny is staring at me, her hand empty where the wing had been. She looks spooked.
What did you just do?
Got rid of the wings.
What about the tail?
I reach down and feel a ropey, leathery tail. Jesus! I think hard about getting rid of it, and it zips through my hand, scratching my palm on its way back into my body.
Why did you even have a tail?
Penny asks. I don't know, I answer, sitting up. I must have been thinking about that dragon.
Simon, she's shaking her head. What happened last night?
The humdrum, I say. He attacked me at Baz's house. He tried to use Baz against me.
He created the biggest hole in Great Britain.
What?
My dad got the call this morning. All of Hampshire is gone.
What?
Dad and the team are there now, but the pitches told them they can't come on their land. They're calling it an act of war.
By the humdrum?
By the mage, she says. They say he's controlling the humdrum. Maybe even the mage is the humdrum. The old families have convened a war council. No one knows where. Mum says the mage is looking for you. But she'll be damned if she tells him you're here, unless you want her to tell him. Do you want her to tell him?
I don't know. I guess so. Why would the pitches blame the mage for this?
Penny bites her lip and looks down. I think it's because of you, Simon. Everyone is saying that you went to the pitches on Christmas Eve and did some dark ritual to kill their magic.
I was fighting the humdrum. I mean, I was trying. The humdrum did something to Baz. He sent him after me like he does the dark creatures.
So you fought Baz?
No, I gave him my magic so he could fight the humdrum off. It was like a spell. The humdrum was there, Penny, looking like me again. And he talked to me this time, in my voice. He watched us, and then he just disappeared. What if he stole the magic at Baz's house out of spite, because I beat him?
Penny keeps biting her lip. I still don't understand why you had a tail.
I needed to get out of there.
I've got my hands in my hair. I tried to remember clearly how it happened. When Baz was himself again, we walked out of the forest right into a dead spot. His parents were freaking out and Baz told me to go. So, I did. I didn't have any other way to get here. So you flew?
Yeah. She looks more worried than I've ever seen her outside of a kidnapping situation.
What spell did you cast, Simon?
Penny. It was just like last time. I didn't cast any spell. I did what I needed to do.
She's watching herself wring her hands in her lap.
Penny?
Yeah?
She doesn't look up. What should I do?
She sighs. I don't know, Simon. Maybe Agatha's right.
She finally meets my eyes.
Maybe it is time to talk to the mage.
Penny decides we should eat lunch first. Late lunch. I've been sacked out most of the day. Her parents are gone, and there's nothing in the fridge but a raw turkey. Penny doesn't trust herself to spell it cooked, so we eat cereal and toast and Christmas sweets. Her little sister wanders in.
You're the reason that Father Christmas didn't come,
she says to me.
You scared him off.
Father Christmas will come, Priya, Penny says.
There are 5 kids in their family. Premal, Penny, Pacey, Priya, and Pip. Penny says her mother should be charged for child cruelty and her father for neglect.
Father Christmas is a lie,
Pacey calls from the living room.
So is God.
I don't know Pacey well. He's at Watford, year 5, but he and Penny don't get on. Penny and her siblings all argue constantly. I'm not sure they know how to communicate any other way. I still feel terrible, cold and wet, even though I'm perfectly dry and wearing some of Pacey's clothes. I woke up in ladies' tracky bottoms. And even though I couldn't feel that weird dragon tail when I had it, now that it's gone, it kind of aches. My Weetabix keeps lurching up in my throat, and I swallow it down hard. I'm trying not to worry or think about what I should do next. Penny's right. We'll go to the mage. The mage will tell us. When someone knocks at the door, I think it must be him. Priya goes for it, and Penny stops her. I stand up and summon my blade just to be safe. It's Baz. Standing on Penny's doorstep, wearing that greenish-black suit again and smelling faintly of smoke. His hand is in his pocket, and his eyes are narrow. He tilts up his chin.
Let me in, Buns. There's no time for pleasantries.
Don't you have to be invited in? She says.
He sneers, and she waves him in.
Come on.
Baz shoves past her and looks around the living room.
Where's your dad's office?
My dad isn't here. He's at your house. And what makes you think I'd let you in his office? Why are you even here?
I'm here, Baz says, looking at me, then looking me up and down. Because we have an agreement.
Penelope steps between us.
If you make a single move towards Simon, even a gesture, in my house, I will slaughter your whole family, Basilton. I'll kill them so hard they won't even be able to find the veil. Simon didn't do this.
He sneers at her.
That's where you're wrong. Show me your father's office. Are there maps? I'm assuming there are maps.
We both stare at him.
Me, because I can't help it. Penny, in shock.
Truce, he says. Come on, we're still on truce. Make haste.
I nod.
Come on, Penny, take us up.
She sighs and unfolds her arms.
Fine, but you can't touch anything up there, either of you.
We follow her up the stairs. Baz knocks against me with his shoulder and elbow.
All right, Snow? He asks softly.
Yeah, you?
Fine, he says.
Your magic?
I whisper. Fine.
He touches my back so lightly, I'm not sure it's not an accident. We take the last step up into the attic where Penny's dad works. I've never been up here before. The whole room is maps. Maps on the walls, covered with string and pins. Maps spread out on high tables, held in place by empty tea mugs. One entire wall is a blackboard filled with numbers and sentence fragments.
Lovely, Baz says. You come by it honestly, Bunce.
He walks around the room until he finds what he's looking for.
There, he says, already labelled.
I step up behind him. It's a map of the southeast with a red string around Hampshire. The flag on the pin says Christmas Eve 2015. Last night, the humdrum attacked Simon, and the biggest hole in Great Britain opened up. He glances back at us. When did the dragon attack Watford? What day? I shrug.
It was just after our magic words exam, Penny says. The middle of November.
Right. Baz walks around the room reading the flags. He stops in front of a map of Scotland. There, he says. November 15th. The Isle of Skye.
Are you saying that the humdrum is linked to the holes? Penny asks. Because we already knew that.
I'm getting there, Bunce. Now, when did the holes first appear?
Do we really have to do this by Socratic method?
Baz frowns at her.
Penny sighs.
Nobody really knows. We didn't start documenting the holes until 1998, but there were small ones all over the country by then.
He nods quickly, cutting her off. And when were you born, Simon? You'd think I'd know, but I can't remember you ever celebrating your birthday.
I shrug again, then clear my throat.
I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. They just guessed when they found me.
But you're probably 18 now. Maybe 19?
They put 1997 on my papers.
Baz nods.
Good. 1997.
Shortly before the holes were discovered.
And when did you realize you were a magician?
Penny's paying attention now. She and I have never talked about this. I don't like to talk about this.
I didn't realize it, I say. The mage told me.
Baz is pinning me to the wall with his eyes.
But how did the mage know? How did he find you?
I clear my throat.
I went off.
They both know what that means. But I didn't. Not at 11. I woke up in the middle of the night during a vicious nightmare. I'd gone to bed hungry, and in my dream my stomach was on fire. I woke up breathless, and magic was pouring out of me, blasting out. The children's home was burnt to the ground, and everyone in it woke up streets away. Unharmed, but still, streets away. Once I watched a show about tornadoes in America, and they showed furniture that had been picked up and set in a yard miles away without breaking. It was like that.
You lit up the magical atmosphere like a Christmas tree, Baz says.
Like a carpet bomb, Penny says. My mum actually threw up when it happened.
When, Baz says, when did it happen?
August, I say. I know he already knows this. The year we started school.
August, Baz says. 2008.
He walks around the room.
Here, he says, pointing at a dead spot on the map. And here. He points at another.
Penny and I stare at the map. Then she steps forward. She points at a string circle.
And in Newcastle, she says softly, and a bunch of tiny ones on the coast. The holes changed that year. My dad says they metastasized.
But I wasn't any of those places, I sputter. I've never been at the site of a new dead spot before last night.
Baz turns to me.
I don't think you have to be there to make it happen.
Simon, Penny asks, when did you go off on the Chimera?
Our fifth year, Baz says, spring 2013.
Here, Penny says, pointing, and a big one over there.
Are you saying I'm the humdrum?
I step away from them.
Because I'm not the humdrum.
Baz meets my eyes.
I know. I know you're not. But Simon, listen. The humdrum told us. He said he doesn't take the magic, that he's what's left when you're done.
I don't even know what that means, Baz.
I feel like I might go off right now. My fingertips are buzzing.
It means the humdrum doesn't take the magic, Simon. You do.
Penny gasps. Simon, the first time you went off, you were 11 years old.
Exactly, Baz says, probably wearing a shitty T-shirt and cast-off jeans and bouncing that bloody ball. They're looking at each other now.
Simon went off, Penny says, and he sucked up so much magic.
Baz nods eagerly.
He tore a hole in the magical atmosphere,
Penny says. A Simon-shaped hole, Baz agrees. I hold my head in both hands, but it still doesn't make sense.
Are you saying I created an evil twin?
More of an impression, Baz says.
Or an echo,
Penny says, still awestruck. Baz tries to explain it again. It's like you tore so much magic out at once, you left fingerprints, whole being prints.
But, I say, but, Penny shakes her head. Why didn't the magical atmosphere just accommodate Simon the way it accommodates every powerful magician? It's a balanced system.
So is the Earth, Baz says. But if you clear-cut a forest, the ecosystem doesn't just bounce back.
This doesn't make sense, I say. Even if I did tear a me-shaped hole, how did it come alive? And why is it a monster?
Is it alive? Penny asks.
And is it a monster? Baz wonders.
We're talking about the insidious humdrum, I shout.
We're talking about a hole, Baz says calmly. Think about it. What do holes want?
To be filled?
I say. I know I'm not keeping up.
Crowley, no, he says. To grow. Everything wants to grow.
If you were a hole, all you'd want is to get bigger.
That's it, Baz!
Penny throws her arms around him. You're a genius! He shoves her off after a second. And careful, I'm also a vampire. I slump against one of the walls. A few pins fall to the floor.
I still don't get it.
Simon, Penny says. You're too powerful. You use too much magic at once. The magical atmosphere can't take it. It just collapses when you go off.
Theoretically, Baz says.
Theoretically,
she agrees.
But,
I say, there must be more buts. Why does the humdrum keep trying to kill me? Why send every dark creature in the UK after me? He isn't trying to kill you, Baz says. He's trying to get you to go off.
And use more magic, Penny says.
Baz holds up his hand to the maps behind him. To make a bigger hole.
I stare at them. They stare at me. They still seem so pleased with themselves, as if they're not staring at the greatest threat the magical world has ever known.
We have to tell the mage, I say.
Baz's face falls.
Over my dead body. 75. Baz.
If this is true,
Snow says,
if even a little bit of it is true, we can't keep it a secret. We have to go to the mage.
I knew this was coming. I knew this would be his solution. I've known from the beginning that Simon would go running for the mage when things got serious. The fuck we do, I say. We have to go to the numpties.
The numpties?
Snow says, as if he can't believe what I'm saying.
You just told me that I'm destroying the world of mages and now you want to go numpty hunting.
We have an agreement, I remind him. I try to sound urgent, not desperate.
Snow looks at me funny, like maybe I'm talking about how we're boyfriends now, as if that even matters anymore.
I sigh bitterly. Not that agreement, you twit.
You promised to help me find my mother's killer. I will help you find your mother's killer,
Snow says, after we figure out how to stop this.
His head falls back.
Maybe, I mean. If I'm still alive then, if the mage doesn't decide the answer is just ending me. Simon,
Bunce admonishes. He'll have to get in line, I say. Once my family finds out what's happening, once the whole world of mages finds out. The old families already think you and the mage are scheming to take their magic. The person who takes you out will be given a crown. Baz, Penny says. I suppose you think it will be you, Snow says, narrowing his eyes. We have a truce, I say, my voice rising. The shit has already hit the fan, and if we don't solve my mother's murder now, we never will. And you promised, Simon. I promised. There are more important things to worry about right now, Snow shouts at me. Nothing is more important than my mother. 76. Baz. I only remember where the numpties live because Fiona said,
Christ, what a mess, and right under Blackfriars Bridge, this city has gone straight to hell,
when she was dragging me to her car. It doesn't take long to get to Blackfriars from Hounslow. It's Christmas Day, and there's no one out. I park the car and clear a path in the snow to the head of the bridge. I'm starting to feel a bit panicky. I know I shouldn't have come alone, but anyone I could have asked for help would have dragged me back to the matter at hand. The fact that my family is now magically homeless. Even Fiona wouldn't have listened to me today. Simon and Penny are both back to saving the day, or destroying it, maybe both. That's all right. I always knew where I stood with Simon, just below the rest of the world, and far, far below the mage. All right. It's all right. I'm afraid, but that's reasonable. You tried going back to the place where you were kept in a coffin until you couldn't remember what light looked like. Maybe I'm in a better position than I was last time. I'm conscious, for one. I have my wand and my wits about me. The door to the numpty's lair is easy to find. It's basically just a hole in the pilings. I slide down some mud, and my stomach churns at the smell. Wet paper and decay. I'm in the right place. It's too dark down here, even for me to see, so I hold my hand and start a fire in my palm, illuminating a circle of nothing around me. I let the flames grow larger and see a lot more nothing. I'm in a chamber full of debris, hunks of pavement, large stones. None of it's familiar. I was unconscious when I was brought here, and mostly unconscious when I left. I don't even really know what the numpties look like. I clear my throat. Nothing happens. I clear it again. My name is Basilton Pitch, I call out loudly. I'm here to ask you a question. One of the big rocky things starts to tremble. I hold the fire in its direction and my wand. The big rocky thing opens like a transformer into a bigger rocky thing that seems to be wearing a giant oatmeal-colored jumper.
You,
it rumbles. In a voice like roadworks. It's a familiar rumble. I feel the walls closing in on me, and my mouth tastes like stale blood. Blood's thicker when it's stale. It clots.
You,
the thing says.
You killed some of us.
Well, you kidnapped me, I say. Remember?
Did it kill you?
It says. There are more of the things now. Crunching around me. I don't see where they're coming from, but there does seem to be less debris lying around. I tried to make out their faces. Everything about them is yellow-gray on yellow-gray. They're like piles of wet cement. You were well on your way to killing me, I say, but that's not why I'm here. I came to talk to you. I'm surrounded by them now. It's like standing inside a stone circle.
Don't like talk,
one rattles out. It might be the one in the jumper again, or it might be this one, right next to me, wearing an electric blanket, the plug dragging behind it on the ground.
Too cold to talk,
another growls.
Time to rest.
That's right, I forgot. Numpties hibernate. I must have woken them. You can rest, I say. I'll leave you. Just tell me this one thing. They rumble to themselves.
Who sent you after me? The numpties don't answer. I feel like they're moving closer to me, even though I can't see it happening.
Who sent you to take me?
I shout. I'm holding my wand in the air, my arm coiled back behind my shoulder. Maybe I should already be casting spells at this point, but killing them won't bring me answers. And what if they fight back?
Are they already fighting back?
It suddenly feels like I'm squeezing between stone walls, and they're closing in on me, pinching around my left arm, around the fire in my hand. The fire.
If you crush me, I yell, my fire will go out.
The crunching stops. I think they're standing still. They seem to settle in sloppy slabs around me, around my hand. How long do they think I can stand like this? And why don't they just move somewhere tropical?
Tell me, I order. Who sent you to take me?
Won't say,
one of them answers. It's like listening to rocks being broken into gravel.
Why not?
The wall behind me lurches closer.
Told us not to.
I stand straighter.
Well, I'm telling you otherwise.
Kept us warm,
the biggest one says. You don't look warm.
Kept us warm for a while,
it says.
Told us not to talk,
grumbles another.
Don't like talk.
I let the fire in my hand go out, and they make a noise like 10,000 teeth grinding.
More fire,
I hear.
More fire.
I'll give you more fire when you answer my question. They're vibrating. I'm not sure whether it's from anger or impatience or something else.
Who sent you? Who paid you to take me?
Warned us,
I hear.
Who?
One of you. Magic ones.
Which one of us? Was it a man? What did he look like?
Like a man. Soft. Warm. Wet spot on the pavement. Green.
Green, I say. The largest numpty unfolds, then crunches down into a pile right in front of me, forcing the others away.
Your headstone. One of you. Warm. Take the vampire brat,
the big one grinds.
Keep him in the dark. Give him blood. Hold him till the cold comes and stays. Fire. Warm. You promised.
They're pressing closer again.
You promised.
I restart the fire in my hand, but instead of backing off, they crush closer to it. I can't even see my wrist.
Get back,
I yell. My left arm is sucking away from my shoulder, and my wand arm is pressed against my ear.
Back off! Cast paper beats rock,
someone shouts. Not a numpty. A man.
What? Paper beats rock. Do it.
I call out. Paper beats rock. And then a specific kind of chaos erupts. There's someone hopping on top of the numpties, slapping them with sheets of newspaper like he's playing whack-a-mole. They try to heave away, but when he thumps them, they go still, actually still. The pressure around me stops. I look up and see none other than Nicodemus himself standing on top of the biggest numpty, catching his breath. What the fuck are you doing here? I ask him, my mouth surely hanging open. He sneers.
I came to save you from numpties.
Did you just put them to sleep with the Guardian?
I did. Why didn't you?
Nicodemus is wearing a cheap suit jacket over a white t-shirt, black jeans with a wallet chain, and ancient steel-toed Doc Martens. It's clear what my ridiculous aunt saw in him. He reaches down and takes my wrist, pointing my wand at the rock wall that's trapping my other arm.
Have a break. Have a Kit Kat,
he says. What?
Say it.
Why? He pinches my wrist. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. I cast, and the rock crumbles around my arms. That shouldn't work, I say, shaking my hand free. The numpties don't wake up, despite me breaking pieces off them.
Stop complaining, Nicodemus says, and come on. The newspapers won't hold them forever.
He's holding out his arm, so I take it, even though he smells like sour blood and cider. He hauls me up until I'm standing on the numpties too. We hop from one to the next, then onto the ground.
This way, Nicodemus says, switching on a big flashlight.
I follow him up the mud pathway and out into the daylight. As soon as we're above ground, I push him away from me.
Watch it, he says. I just saved your life.
You just ruined my plan.
They were about to tell me who kidnapped me. They already told you,
he snarls.
It was the mage.
The mage. The green man. The headstone.
The mage.
Nicodemus curls his lip so I can see his missing eye teeth.
It was the mage who had you kidnapped,
he says. He keeps moving forward and I keep stepping back.
And the mage who let the vampires into Watford.
What? I stumble in the snow and catch myself.
He made a deal with them,
Nicodemus says, inches from my face.
If they attacked Watford and gave everyone a good scare, he'd let them live in London unbothered. He wanted me to make the deal, but I wouldn't, so he found someone else.
The mage sent vampires to kill my mother.
I tried to warn her, but she wouldn't believe Merlin's oath coming from me.
Nicodemus shrugs.
For what it's worth, I don't think the mage meant for your mum to die. But I don't think he minded much. Made everything else easier, didn't it?
I take another step back. Why are you telling me this now? Why not before? And why are you even here? Did you follow me? I whip my head around looking for more vampires. Is this a trap?
I couldn't tell you, Nicodemus says. He would have killed me. But now it doesn't matter what he does. He went and arrested my sister, didn't he? Your mage. He's got Ebenezer now, and I need your help getting her back.
It was the mage. It was the mage all along. I mean, I always thought it was him, but I never really thought it was him.
How could he?
He's the mage. How could he just... I make a noise like snow, a growl that starts in my stomach and triggers my fangs. Then I turn and run for my car. Nicodemus runs after me. He grabs my arm.
Wait, I'm coming with you.
You're not coming with me.
I told you, he has my sister.
What do I care?
I'm going to help you fight.
I don't want your help, you monster.
Too bad,
he says, yanking me.
You'll have it.
We're interrupted by desperate yelping. A normal is out walking his dog, a cross-eyed cavalier spaniel, and it's taken an interest in Nicodemus and me, barking madly.
Come along, Della.
The normal pulls on her chain, and the dog nearly chokes herself, jumping at us.
Bark, bark, bark.
I could swear it's saying,
Baz, Baz, Baz.
I turn away from Nicodemus and look more closely at the spaniel. Are you saying my name?
Baz!
The dog barks.
Thank magic! It's me, Penelope!
Bunce?
It does sound like her, in a yelpy canine way. Who turned you into a dog?
Am I a dog?
She yaps. The spell's never worked that way before.
Baz, you have to come get me.
The normal is leaning over to pick up his dog as if I'm a threat to her. I am. I grab the dog and hold it up to my face.
Hey now,
the normal says. Nicodemus hisses at him and the man lets go of the dog's chain.
Bunce, what are you talking about?
Baz, we can't let Simon face the mage alone. I have a really bad feeling about it. I need you to come get me.
Simon, alone with the mage, with my mother's murderer.
I'm coming.
I shove the animal under my arm and look up at the normal.
I need to borrow your dog.
You can't just...
I hold up my wand.
There's nothing to see here.
The normal looks at us, then looks down at his hands, then gets a cigarette out of his pocket. I start running towards my car. Nicodemus is right behind me.
Wait, I'm coming with you.
I keep running. He grabs at my arm again and I whirl around, starting a fire in that palm. He jumps back. The Bunce spaniel yelps at him.
I have to save my sister,
he says,
and you could use my help.
You know I can't get in on my own.
I tilt up my chin.
I could use your help. And if what you're saying is true, Ebb certainly could. But I'll be damned to hell twice over before I let a vampire into Watford. Even a gelded one. 77. Agatha.
Oh, thank magic, Mum says. She's standing in my doorway in her dressing gown. I lift my head up from my pillow. What? I fell asleep in my clothes, on top of the blankets. I don't know what time it is. Mitali Bunce just called. Simon and Penelope have run off to who knows where, and I thought you might be with them. No. They've run off. She hopes they've just run off, that they weren't taken. Mum's voice breaks. After last night. Mum, what's wrong? There's been another attack, she says. That horrible humdrum, he attacked the pitches. Ate everything. It's such a shame. It was the grandest estate in magic. But Simon, I say. What, dear? Did he tell you something? They've gone to find the numpties. I'm sure of it. It's exactly the sort of thing they'd do. Run off to confront a pack of ogres without talking to the parents or asking for help. I think about telling my mother that Simon was at the pitches last night, that he and Penny and Basilton Grim Pitch were plotting together. But Mum would just ask why I hadn't told her sooner. And then I think she'd tell me to keep my mouth shut, that no good could come of getting involved now with the whole world of mages on the brink of war, or possibly over it. My dad's at an emergency coven meeting, Mum says, and the mage is holed up in his tower, communicating with the stars or something. I can tell she is relieved that I'm not with Simon and Penny, but also weirdly concerned. Agatha, is everything, you know, tickety-boo with Simon? Aside from the fact he's missing? You know what I mean, darling. Between you, the two of you, we're fine, I assure her. I'm not about to tell her that we broke up. I don't even know whether Simon's alive. I'm not telling my mother about my ruined prospects until I absolutely have to. I get some leftover party food, a Diet Coke and some soggy artichoke crostini, and go back to my room. I fell asleep last night before my parents' party and they never woke me. They must have decided I needed the rest. I take a bite of bread. There's nothing I can do about this. Any of it. I don't even really know where Simon is. Out chasing numpties isn't helpful. What else do I know? That he might be with Baz? That he and Baz are friends now? That's not a clue. I still can't believe they're friends. I can believe it of Simon. He'll make friends with anyone who's willing. Anyone who doesn't mind the risks of befriending a human wrecking ball. But what's in it for Baz? All Baz has ever wanted from Simon is his demise. Baz would do anything to get Simon out of his way. Anything. What if this is all a trick? What if Baz is luring Simon to the numpties, the way he lured me into the wood that night? Well, he didn't quite lure me. I followed him, but still. Baz is a vampire. Baz is a villain. Baz is a pitch. My phone is on my nightstand. I am allowed to have one at home. I pick it up and text Penny. Your mum is looking for you. Everyone's worried. And are you fighting numpties? Do you need help? I could get help. Then, are you with Baz? I think it might be a trick, that he's trying to hurt Simon. And then, you could have at least left a note. That seems pretty basic. I throw the mobile down on the bed and pop open my Diet Coke. The photo of Lucy and Davy is stuffed under my pillow. I pull it out. What would brave, bold Lucy Salisbury do in a hopeless situation like this? Hot-tail it to California like a rational human being, apparently. Leave it to the heroes. If Baz has turned on Simon, there's nothing I can do to help. But I can't just sit here doing nothing, damn it. Damn him. Damn them all. Even when I'm not involved in their stupid drama, I'm still involved. I still have to play my part.
and this is the part where I always scream for help. My mother's on the phone when I slip out. I take the Volvo.
78. Baz. It took me a good bit to figure out that Bunce was just possessing the dog, that she wasn't trapped inside its body. I've never even heard of such a thing. I'm certain it isn't legal. The real Bunce, terrifying mage that she is hiding behind a hedge in Hounslow, waiting for me. I'm on my way to get her.
I wouldn't have to do this if you weren't so cagey about your mobile number, she yaps from the back seat.
Penelope.
I'm hiding in our neighbour's garden. I can't go home because I know if Mum's there she won't let me leave, and I have to leave. I can't let Simon face the mage alone. He might already be at Watford. He probably just thought about teleporting and arrived there. I really blew it with Simon. He was going to let me go with him, I think, after Baz stormed off, but then I tried to talk him down. I tried to reason with him. Maybe Baz is right, I said. Simon was pacing around my bedroom, swinging his blade, and he stopped to shoot me a scornful look.
Seriously, Penny? Numpties?
No, not about the numpties, but Simon, think it through. What's going to happen when people find out about you?
I don't care about people,
he growled. I shushed him. My little brothers and sisters were still downstairs. You care about the mage, I said. What's going to happen when he finds out you're stealing magic?
I am not stealing it, he hissed. Whatever you're doing, I whispered back. What's going to happen? I don't know. The mage will decide.
That's when I probably should have given up, but instead I stood in front of him and reached for his hand. He let me take it. Simon, I said, maybe we should just go. He looked confused. He clenched his sword in his other hand.
Penny, that's what I'm saying. We have to go.
No, I stepped closer to him, squeezing his hand. I think this might be our only chance to leave. He looked at me like I was mental. I kept at it. Everyone has already connected you to the humdrum. When they figure out what's actually happening, even the people who care about you. You're a threat to everyone, Simon. To our whole world. Once they find out. Maybe this is our last chance to leave. We could just go. He shook his head.
Go where, Penny?
Wherever we have to, I said. Away.
Simon. Away. There is no away. There's only here and normal. Did Penelope think that would be an escape for me? To run away from magic? I don't even think it's possible. I am magic, and whatever I'm doing, running away won't stop it. I have to fix this, I said. It's my job to fix it.
I don't think you can, she said.
I let go of her hand. I have to. It's why I'm here. But maybe that's not why I'm here. Maybe I'm just here to fuck everything up. It doesn't change what I have to do next. Penelope. I'm going to talk to the mage, he said.
Simon, I begged, please don't. But he'd already stopped listening to me. Dark red wings were unfolding from his shoulders, and that arrow-like tail wound its way down his thigh. He looked at me with his jaw set, and then he took off. That's when I called Baz. He pulls up now in a wine-coloured sports car. I climb out from the bushes, and Baz has already leaned over to open the car door. There's a little cross-eyed dog in the back seat. I break my possession spell, and it yelps.
79. Lucy.
We snuck back into Watford on the autumn equinox.
He'll be born at solstice,
Davy said, pulling me up the hole in the floor into the old oracle's room at the top of the White Chapel. Or she, I said. He laughed.
I suppose that's right.
I climbed onto the wooden floor. How did the oracles get up here?
There used to be a ladder,
he said. The room was round, with curved stained glass windows and an intricately painted domed ceiling, a mural of men and women holding hands in a ring, looking up at a field of foiled stars and ornate black script. I could only make out some of it. In Time's Womb. Shakespeare. How did you find this place? Davy shrugged.
Exploring.
He knew Watford like no one else. While the rest of us had flirted and studied, he'd roamed every inch. I watched him draw a pattern on the floor with salt and oil and dark blue blood. Not a pentagram, something else. And I pulled my shawl around my shoulders and legs. We hadn't brought anything with us, blankets or pillows or mats. Davy had a stack of notes, and he kept going back to them. You're sure of everything? I asked for the 20th time this week. He'd been more indulgent with me since I agreed to this. I did agree to it. I thought Davy might do it without me. That he might find a way. I thought that as long as I was there, I could keep him from going too far. And I thought that Davy wanted a child. Underneath it all, we were talking about a child. He was asking me to have his child, to change our lives. I wanted that.
I'm sure,
Davy said.
I've compared the ritual and phrases over three sources. The three accounts complete each other, and the divergence is small.
Why hasn't anyone else tried this? I asked.
Oh, I think they have,
he said brightly.
But we haven't. You said it yourself, no one has studied these rituals like I have. None of these scholars had access to each other's notes.
He'd shared some of the spells with me. Beowulf, the Bible. I wrapped my shawl tighter. So there's no risk.
There's always risk. It's creation. It's life.
It's a child, I said. He stood and hopped over his designs to crouch in front of me.
Our child, Lucy. The most powerful magician the world of mages has ever known.
The room was lit by 7 candles, and Davy chanted every spell 7 times. Why is it always 7? I wondered, lying on my back on the cold wood floor. I wished that we'd brought music, but there was singing outside. The students at the Equinox bonfire out on the great lawn. The night was turning out more solemn than I had expected. It had been a lark, sneaking into Watford, finding the hidden room. But now, Davy was focused and quiet. I wondered how we'd know whether the ritual had worked. How would we know if our baby was the most powerful mage in the world? Would he look any different? Would his eyes glow? Davy said we couldn't talk at all during the ritual, so instead I caught his gaze. He looked happy, excited. Because he's finally doing something, I thought, not just shouting at the sky. I tried not to talk. I lay very still. And I knew, oh, I knew, the moment it happened that magic and luck were on our side. There was a pull deep in my belly, like a star had collapsed there. The world around me went white, and all my magic contracted into a tight ball in my pelvis. When I could see again, all I could see was Davy's golden face above mine, as happy as I'd ever known him.
80. Agatha.
The gates are open when I get to Watford, and there's a single set of tire tracks in the snow. That's good. That means the mage is here. I follow them and park the Volvo in the main courtyard right next to the mage's jeep. I won't get in trouble. This is an emergency. I'm not good in emergencies. I can't wait to find the mage and hand this off to him. I'll tell him what I know, then I'll get as far from this mess as I can. Maybe I'll go over to Minty's house and we can watch Mean Girls. And her mum will make us virgin mojitos, and we'll do gel manis. Minty's got her own machine. Minty doesn't care about magic. Minty won't even read fantasy novels. I just can't make myself care, she says. It's all so fake. I tried to do manicures with Penelope once, and she got distracted, trying to come up with a way to do it magically. I run through the snow to the Weeping Tower and up to the Major's office. It's 1,000 stairs, I swear. There are elevators, but I don't know the spells. I'm worried about knocking at the Major's door, but it's wide open, and when I walk inside, it's a catastrophe. It looks like Penny's been in here. There are books everywhere, in stacks and lying open. There are pages ripped out and taped all over the wall. Not taped, stuck to the wall with spells. And this is exactly the sort of thing I'm sick of. Like, just use some tape. Why come up with a spell for sticking paper to the wall? Tape exists. Anyway, the mage isn't here. I suppose I could leave him a note, but how would he ever find it? And what if he doesn't come back in time? The mage should really have a secretary, given his responsibilities. I close one of his books out of spite and lean against the window frame, trying to decide what to do next. That's when I see the lights in the White Chapel.
Simon. I'm not sure how I know the way to Watford. I'm not sure I'm really flying anymore, or if I'm just thinking about being there. I wonder if this, what I'm doing, the magic I'm using, is enough to tear a new hole, or if it's just making an old one bigger. I wonder if they're all wrong about me. All of them.
Agatha.
I don't like the White Chapel. Whenever we have assemblies in here, I can't get the smell of incense out of my hair. It smells more like smoke than incense today. Smoke and spent magic. Like a classroom after an exam. I'm just going to find the mage, tell him what I know, then leave. Minty's house might not be far enough away from this disaster. Maybe I'll go to university in Scotland, at that college where Kate went to meet William. The front hall of the chapel is empty. I walk in deeper, following the smoke, which seems like an idiotic move, a Simon move, but also seems like the best way to find the mage. I keep going, opening doors, making my way deeper into the building. It's smokier back here, and darker. And I think I hear the mage chanting. I'm probably interrupting some heavy magic. Maybe he's searching for Simon. Sir? I call out. I don't know what else to call him. I've never heard anyone actually call the mage, to his face. There's a crashing, like wood hitting wood. I can't tell where it's coming from, and I can't see anything. I start looking for a light switch. Some of the older Watford buildings don't have switches. You have to turn on the lights with magic, but my wand is in the car, lying on the passenger seat. It didn't fit in my coat pocket. There's another crash. I stand very still and listen. A metallic clanging, someone shouting, footsteps coming towards me, running, panting. Someone slams into me, pushing me aside and running past me. Then someone else catches me and pins me, my back against the wall.
I told you not to run.
He growls. You didn't, I say. You didn't tell me. He's holding my arms so tight, I think they might actually break.
Let there be light,
he says. And there is. I stare into the mage's eyes. When he sees that it's me, he throws me aside.
Where did she go?
He demands. Who, sir? He swings his wand around.
Come out, wherever you are.
His teeth are bared.
You know I don't have time for this. The hour is near.
He slashes with his wand.
Please.
Slash.
Please.
Slash.
Please.
Slash.
Let me. Let me. Let me.
I'm not sure what he's casting for, but the spell tugs at me, and I fall forward.
You,
the mage says, noticing me again. His tunic is open, and he's sweating profusely. There's something blue, smeared all over his chest.
What are you doing here, girl?
I came to tell you about Simon, sir.
Simon?
He says wildly.
Where's Simon?
He holds up his hand.
Wait.
The mage looks like he wants to run away, like he's listening. I take a step away from him, but he grabs my arm.
Where is Simon?
I don't know, sir, I say, but I came to tell you he was with Basilton Pitch last night. They told me they were going to find some numpties, but I think it's a trap. You have to help him. The words rush out of me, everything I rehearsed in the car. The mage groans and holds his head, pacing now across the dark room, coming in and out of my sight. The light from his spell still hangs in the air around me. I take a step towards the door.
Numpties now. Vampires. Children. I don't have time for this.
He growls in frustration, and I hear something loud and heavy like a bookcase fall to the ground. Maybe he's distracted. I turn to run from the room, but the mage is right there, grabbing me.
You'll have to do,
he says.
You'll have to do for now.
My legs give out, and he drags me.
You don't have much to give,
he says.
But I'll take it.
Baz. Bunce is biting her nails. She keeps trying to cast spells on the car, but I'm already driving it as fast as it can manage, and all her spells come out nervous and tight. She's worried that the mage will kill Simon once he finds out that Simon is causing the humdrum. I'm worried she'll figure out that I want to kill the mage first.
Penelope. I don't trust Baz. I only called him for help because he has a car. I mean, I'd love to trust him. He's a brilliant magician and excellent company, but I can't. I only trust four people. My parents, Micah, and Simon. I don't have any spare trust lying around, and if I did, I wouldn't give it to Tyrannus Basilton Grim Pitch. He's cynical, manipulative, and utterly ruthless. All he cares about is getting what he wants and protecting his own people. And there's something in the way he looks at Simon. I don't think Baz has set aside the last 7 years of hostility. He's got a mad glint in his eye for Simon. If he gets a chance to stab him in the back, I think he might take it. I need to get Simon away from the mage, and then I just need to get him away.
Agatha.
I should be scared. And I am. Terrified. But I'm also thinking, fucking of course. Of course this is how I'm going to die, because somebody's looking for Simon and finds me instead. I'm going to be murdered by some power-hungry maniac who doesn't even know my name. I don't try to fight. What's the point? But I go limp and start to cry. Just because I knew I was going to die like this doesn't mean I'm ready for it. I wish I'd been nicer to my mum this morning. I wish I were wearing something other than leggings and Ugg boots. I always figured I'd make a more beautiful corpse. The mage hauls me to another room where a trapdoor hangs open in the ceiling, light streaming down. He points his wand at himself.
Up, up and away.
You're not supposed to cast that spell on people. You can accidentally pull their lungs through their shoulders, but the spell works for him and we start to float up through the door. Then another spell. And we all fall down. Knocks us both to the ground. Whoever casts it falls too. I hear her land. No, Davy, she says. Let her go. And I think it must be Lucy. Here, to save me.
Simon.
I land on the great lawn at sunset and walk across the drawbridge. I see the mage's jeep and Dr. Wellbeloved's Volvo, and I wonder if they're here, or if they're off, fighting somewhere. Actually fighting, blades out, wands drawn. I don't even know where to look for the war if it isn't at Watford. I'm headed for the mage's office when I see the light at the top of the chapel. It's in a tower I've never seen lit before. I've never even noticed the stained glass there. It looks like a crown, or a cluster of stars. As I'm looking, the windows blaze with light.
Agatha.
The mage lurches up onto his hands and knees and starts casting spells.
Please, 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 let me, let me, let me.
Hell hath no fury, the woman shouts. Fire pours from her wand and hits him in the chest. I've never seen anything like that, not even from Simon. The light from the fire finally illuminates her face. It's Ebb, the goat herd. Run, Agatha, she says. But the mage has fallen on top of me. I can't, I sob. The mage raises his wand to cast at her, and I hit his hand as hard as I can. His wand goes flying, and he rolls away from me to get it. Run for your life, Ebb shouts, and I do. I scrabble to my feet and run from the room like there's a jet stream at my back. I run through the smoke and darkness, out into the light and snow, and then I keep running.
81. Ebb.
He would have killed that girl. I don't suppose I had a choice but to come back.
The mage. There's no time. The humdrum is devouring us, and today's the day. Today is a day that my magic might work. Holidays are auspicious. The solstice lingers. Today is the day. This is the hour. If only Simon were here. I thought we'd done it. At great cost, yes, but I thought we'd done it, Lucy. We'd brought the greatest mage. He is the greatest mage. I hid him among the normals so that no one would know, so that no one would ask. I hid him until he was ready, until he called me to him, just like every prophecy said he would. I didn't know that he was broken. I couldn't see that he was a cracked vessel. Maybe it was too much power for a babe to hold. Maybe that was my mistake. If he were here, I could fix it. I have different spells now. I'd been looking too far in the past. I should have realized that new power must come from new psalms. I have a chance now. I could relieve him. But Simon isn't here, and I can't wait for him. The humdrum won't wait. The pitches are on their way. This woman will have to do. She's the brightest star in our realm, next to Simon. Our Simon. I can take her power. I just have to kill her first.
Ebb. I don't suppose I ever had the choices I thought I did.
The mage. She's all brute force and 90s cliches. I've seen her weave spells like a master on the goats and the grounds, but in battle, Ebb's a cannon at a sword fight. No wonder Simon follows her around like a lost kid. I'd thought about making her redundant over the years. What does Watford need with goats? But she's powerful, and she protects the school when I'm away. I wouldn't sacrifice her today if the fate of our world didn't hang in the balance.
Ebb. I'm out of practice. I was never in practice with spells like this. I know 10 spells to turn water into whiskey, and I can bring the goats in with a turn of phrase, but I never saw the point of all this. Even when Nico and me were getting a dust-up, I'd usually settle him with, "Don't worry, be happy," or "Hush, little baby." My only chance now is to overpower Davy. I throw head over heels and hit the floor. Spells I learned in pub brawls. The mage does something I've never seen before. Obeying the spells instead of letting them hit him. He looks like a madman. His shirt is torn open and he's covered in muck. Who knows what dark magic he's about? He still hasn't said what he wants from me. We're circling each other like two wolves.
You're no match for me, Ebb,
he says. Then he shouts,
resistance is futile.
I absorb the spell. I can do that sometimes, let a spell burn out in my magic. Bend over backwards, I shout back desperately when I'm able. The mage swings back into the ground like he's made of rubber, then picks himself up, sighing.
The mage. She caught me by surprise with that one, and my head is ringing. I'm sorry, Eb, but I don't have time for this. I need your power. The world of mages needs your power.
I'm not a fighter,
she says. I know, I say, but I am.
I step closer.
Make this sacrifice for your people.
What do you want from me, Davy?
She's scared. I'm sorry for that. A hank of blonde hair covers one of her eyes. Your power. I need your power.
I'll give it to you. I don't want it.
It doesn't work that way, I say. I have to take it.
She steals her jaw, holding her shepherd's staff between us. Helter skelter!
She screams. The room goes mad. Floorboards peel up and whirl about us like ticker tape. Every ancient window shatters. It's a child's spell, a tantrum for upsetting board games and scattering marbles. The power in this woman. Wasted. I stumble forward through the chaos and sink my blade in her chest.
Eb. I decide the mage must be right, even though he talks like a madman. I decide this is for the best. This is for a reason. I hope that someone remembers to bring the nannies home.
82. Simon. As I reach the door to the White Chapel, every window explodes. It sounds like the world is ending and it's made of glass. I hope I'm not too late. To stop whatever needs to be stopped. To help whoever needs to be helped. I run into the chapel behind the pulpit. And then I think about the mage and find my way to a room at the back with a trapdoor hanging open in the ceiling. I flutter my wings, I still have wings, and catch the edge of the opening, hauling myself up. It's a round room, ruined now, and the mage is kneeling in the centre, his eyes closed and his shoulders heaving. There's someone lying on the ground below him, and for a breath I think it might be Baz, but Baz went to the numpties, I know he did. Whoever is on the floor, it means it's all started. I clear my throat and rest my hand on my hip. The blade appears without the incantation. It's like the whole world is just reacting to me. I don't even have to think. I don't have to think. The mage has his hands on the person's chest. There's a haze of deep magic around them, and he's chanting. It takes me a minute to recognize the song. Easy come, easy go, little high, little low. I step forward quietly. I don't want to interrupt him in the middle of a spell, especially if he's trying to revive someone.